Welcome to the Thirst World Problems Podcast, where we talk about drinks, current events, music, and more. Now, here's your host, Nick Dugal, and his panel of experts, B, Bell, and the infamous Doc.
All right, welcome back to Thirst World Problems. This is Bell, and I got my man B here with me.
As always.
Once again, Nick is vacationing and living the life while
I don't know what's going on with this guy.
I know what's going on. This guy just wants us to do all the work while this guy's
where is he at? Life.
Who knows where he's at now? He was in India. He was in England, Toronto, Montreal.
Like, I don't know where he's going to be tomorrow.
I don't know if he knows where he's going to be tomorrow, but he knows he's not going to be working.
Yeah, well, that's probably what.
Hey, his loss. Today, we're joined by Jim Sweeney. And he's going to tell you a little bit about who he is and what he does, and then we're just going to chop it up with him. So, Jim, could you tell the people a little bit about you?
Sure. First of all, thanks for having me on the show. I'm excited to be a part of what we're going to discuss tonight. I live in Clearwater, Florida. I do a couple things in life. I've created a cartoon character by the name of Mike. Mike is a microphone. That I expect one day will be the first ever animated brand to transcend all sports. He's witty. He's clever. I've penned 40 sports comic books through the voice of Mike, and I've probably written over 1,000 blogs over the last several years. And I expect this is going to be the big year for not just me, but for Mike, where I expect to sign a licensing deal with either a big sports website or a television network.
Well. So is Mike you?
Mike is me. I'm the voice of Mike. I'm the brains behind Mike. Mike was born with me, coursing through my DNA a number of years ago when I came on this earth.
There you go. So when you say he's going to transcend sports, what's the vision that you have for Mike?
It's to be a funny guy in sports. You know, every game's got a scorekeeper. They've got refs. They've got you know, players or participants, but games also have announcers that report on the action. And with Mike, I don't expect him to report on, you know, last night's game, like a basketball game. I don't expect him to rehash, you know, statistics or the scores or how players played. But with Mike, I see him looking at the world of sports through a different lens, a lens of comedy, a lens of asking the questions that maybe other sports announcers wouldn't ask of players, but making people laugh. You know, Mike's witty, he's clever, he's outside the box, and I see him in very short doses where he could be animated shorts that could appear on a popular website, or he could be a talking head that banters back and forth on television with real-life sports celebrities or sports talent.
Okay. So, and has Mike made a connection with any particular team, particular sport?
No, that's the beauty of Mike, is that he's strictly independent, is that he reports on, you know, all sports, but, you know, he really focuses on the big ones, basketball, baseball, football, soccer, and hockey. But his thing is to look at sports through a different lens, to pick out the humor, to identify those things that maybe are right at the tip of your nose, but no one really talks about. And, you know, Mike comes to fruition. He comes to life through the books that I've published, through some animated shorts, and also through a thrice weekly blog that I write.
So just to give the viewers, listeners a little peek into that, what would be an example of, because you're saying he looks at it through a different lens, what would be an example or like a, say, like a short segment or what you have in mind for that? Like, what would be an actual?
Sure. One of the, I guess, animated shorts that people have liked the most is Mike's short ditty on why is a jockstrap called an athletic supporter? It does the exact opposite of supporting you. It binds, it pinches, it crimps. It can even give you a nasty jock rash. So it's taking obvious things that we've known all of our lives about sports, and Mike looks at it differently and brings humor to the equation. Mike has all of these, you know, comics. I probably have a library of close to 800 comics that are all Mike-inspired comics, from things on adjusting the fellas, in baseball, because you know that all baseball managers or baseball players, as soon as they get into the batter's box, they start poking and prodding, scratching and adjusting. Or Mike's take on Pigeon Heaven, you know, usually the 300 or 600 level in a stadium. And people, you know, are happy to be a part of Pigeon Heaven, even though you got, you know, in Mike's comic or Mike's animated shorts got, you know, pigeons resting on people's heads. But the, you know, the fans are smiling. They're happy because they're at least in the ballpark watching the game.
Well.
And so, Jim, what's your sport of choice then? Since we know that Mike's unbiased, so what about you?
My sport of choice is basketball. I'm a basketball junkie. I've played all my life. I still play three times a week. And Mike is my vocation. Developing content for Mike on a daily basis is what I do for a living. We actually monetize the brand through affiliate links. But my avocation or my passion in life is basketball, and I've got like the world's greatest volunteer gig. I serve as the head of the United States for a senior basketball organization called FIMBA. And FIMBA is a lot like FIBA, but you put the M in there, it's for Masters. So Federation International Masters Basketball Association. And what I do is I recruit players and organize teams to participate in international tournaments around the world. So like last year, I played in tournaments in New Zealand. I played in Italy in the world's largest competitive 5-on-5 basketball tournament ever with 367 teams. I played in Serbia. Wow. I'm going next month to Japan. I'll go to Brazil this June, and I'll return to Serbia again next fall or this coming fall. So that's my sport of choice, basketball. I'm a basketball junkie, basketball diehard. I comment a lot on basketball. I'm going to be, especially with March Madness forthcoming, you know, I'll be on, what, 5 Saturdays in a row in a big sports show here in the United States.
Okay. So what position do you play?
Point guard. I'm usually one of the shorter guys on the floor. I'm just a tad under 6 feet, but I can really shoot it, and I'm deceptively quick. I can break down guys off the dribble.
So you said you play 2 to 3 times a week. Where is this, a local club somewhere? Or, like, I know you said you travel for it as well, but where does the bulk of your play happen? And also another add-on to that, just because we, you know, me and Bell both, we do play. I probably play 2 to 3 times a week as well. What kind of player are you? Are you more so the guy who's going to take the ball and you're gonna score, or do you more so play off the ball? How does that work?
I'm a scoring point guard, always have been. You know, I played in college. I played overseas after I got out of college. I've never stopped playing, you know, my entire life. But we play three times a week. All the guys that played have played, you know, in college. You know, many of us have played overseas. We're an older crowd, but still we're very skilled. We're very passionate about what we do. We're not golfers. We don't play tennis. I don't think any of us owns a boat. But we have a pool of probably 25 to 30 people from which to choose. Wow. And a number of us gather at least 3 times a week at either a local middle school or at a college gym here in Pinellas County in Florida.
So how do you stay ready for that? Because just me myself, like, I 2 to 3 times a week with, say, going to the gym as well, like, you get pretty tired and you get kind of beat up. So, like, for example, like, one thing with me is shin splints. Like, shin splints kill me if I don't take like a week off here and there. So is there anything like that for you, or can you kind of just keep plugging away at that?
Well, I've been married for a number of years, and I'm not allowed to talk about my aches and ailments and injuries. So, yeah, everything hurts. When you get to a stage in life and you play sports, especially a physical sport, and you play hard, once you're done, you know, there's a gratification that you just had a great workout. You have enjoyed the fact that you were doing something with your friends. And you know what it's like when you play team sports. The camaraderie is what comes first and foremost. Sure, you want to win. Sure, you want to play hard. Sure, you want to do well. But doing something with your friends, you really can't put a price tag on that. But I stay in shape by never getting out of shape. You know, I always stretch. I try to eat well, try to hydrate. You know, If I'm hurt and I know I'm hurt, I just take time off and, you know, step away.
Oh, but that's got to be tough.
I've done this consistently all my life, so, and I've never really had a serious injury, so I'm very grateful for that.
Okay, I was going to say that's got to be tough. The tough part is getting hurt and, you know, having to fill your time where it's like, oh, you need to take 4 weeks off. And
yes,
especially,
but we still, even in the United, if we don't play in international tournaments, there's several of us that play in domestic tournaments here in the United States, and there's one every month. I'm going to Las Vegas, you know, in a couple of weeks to play in the Las Vegas Senior Nationals. You know, we had one in the Tampa Bay area in Florida in January, and you get I think we had 325 players, 32 teams, and more than half of the people were from outside the state of Florida. And there's a national tournament where there's a bunch of Canadian teams in South Florida, in the Fort Lauderdale area, every May. And there's tournaments in Chicago, Indianapolis, Detroit, Utah, Buffalo, New York City. So it's what I do. You know, some people like to fish. Some people got fancy computer equipment. Other people like to golf. I play basketball slowly, but hey, I'm still out there playing.
So with your team and with your team here, and since you guys do so much traveling, is it the same squad that travels with you?
We have a nucleus of people that pretty much always stays together. But when you go to a big tournament, especially an international tournament, you need to take at least 10 people because inadvertently someone's going to get sick because of the international travel. They don't like the food. Maybe, you know, they get dehydrated. Other guys, you know, you can always count on somebody. Not that you want it to happen, but you can always count somebody pulling a hamstring, popping a calf muscle, turning an ankle. And, you know, so you have to go prepared. You have to, like, overbook. And you have to have the right nucleus of people and also the right complementary players that know that maybe they might not be a part of the rotation, but they'll have an opportunity to play if we're ahead or if the game's not on the line.
So what's your go-to move? Is it, are you coming off the screen?
I'm a guy that's a little sneaky with the, I call it trickeration with my dribble. I like to cross over, you know, have a good inside-outside dribble, you know, with either hand. And I'm not the fastest guy, but I'm definitely quick, and I'm very quick with the ball. And I've always been that way. And I could pretty much, you know, break a guy down, provided that he's not 20 years younger than me. I can pretty much break a guy down off the dribble.
So coming up, playing ball, and now seeing some of the changes, especially in the NBA, where now small ball is very prevalent, how have you seen, or how have you kind of felt witnessing that change?
I like it. I think it makes the game a lot more exciting. You know, I loved basketball all my life. I loved it even when they had most before the three-point line and when they would just pound the ball down low to big, beefy guys that, you know, would look to bulldoze their way to the hoop that had, you know, good footwork, soft hands. But I like when the floor gets spaced. And I think it's amazing you can have guys out there like a Kevin Durant who can play all five positions of the floor offensively and defensively. I mean, the guy's a seven-footer with an incredible wingspan, and he shoots, you know, step-back three-point shots from the NBA three-point line, which I think is incredible. And even some of the big guys, the European influence of the game, you know, like with Dirk Nowitzki, now you have Kristaps Porzingis.
I can never say his name. The Denver Center's
you got
too.
The Serbian guys, Jokic, and, you know, they're just so highly skilled. You know, they could put the ball on the ground, take you to the basket, and they could pick and pop and leave them alone. They'll hit a 3-point shot.
Yeah, like you think you look around at any of these centers, power forwards. You look like a, you know, we're in Canada, so I got to mention a Jonas Valanciunas, a Serge Ibaka, for example, for the Raptors. You leave these guys, they're hitting a three, right? Jokic,
yes.
Like you mentioned, you leave them open, he's hitting a three. Porzingis. Right, older guys now, obviously, Dirk kind of started that. But there's many guys who, you know, like on the Celtics, Marcus Morris or whoever it might be, is just, it's so, I haven't really understood the hate of people being like, oh, well, they're running around shooting this and that, this and like, the game evolves as it goes, right? Why would the game be, why would it be exactly the same? I've never understood that argument.
Well, it's the same in every sport. I mean, it evolves. I think that's what makes the sports great, is that they don't stay flat. I mean, they don't get stagnant. It's like in American football. You know, now there's so much motion offense, you know, that never really existed, you know, 20 or 30 years ago. Now you have amazing athletes at the quarterback position that could run and they can pass. Where, you know, traditionally in football, most of the quarterbacks were simply drop back pocket passers.
Exactly.
So, Jim, with all the traveling that you do, there's got to be a place that stands out that you really enjoy going to or that you really have enjoyed visiting. So what would that place be for you?
That's an easy answer for me. Croatia.
Croatia, okay.
I've been to Croatia a number of times. Actually, I wanted to move there after my first trip about 10 years ago. And I've had the very good fortune of playing in two FIBA World Leagues there several years ago. I love the country. It's like a cleaner, less populated California. It's the country is very long along the coast, the Adriatic Sea. In the northern part of the country, in Croatia, it's called Istria, and it's very much like the San Francisco Bay Area. And then the southern part, it's extremely arid from Split to Dubrovnik. Dubrovnik, I think, is the most gorgeous little city in the world. And it's really dry and mountainous, but still very beautiful, like southern parts of Southern California, like San Diego.
And what's the food like?
Food's a Mediterranean diet. Everything is very fresh since the country is all along the sea. You know, fresh seafood. You know, different parts of the country, they're famous for mussels, other for, you know, whitefish. I forget what you call it. They got a Croatian name, but and inland, the food is good. It's more of a meat diet, but Croatia has incredible olive orchards, you know, throughout the country, and fruit, you know, oranges, watermelon, cantaloupes. I think the food is awesome there. I really do.
So Jim, everyone listening right now is probably like, okay, you know, this guy he's going around the world, he's playing basketball, right? He just seems fun what he's doing. So how, to put some context into this, like you mentioned, you were on the board of FIBA International. So
yes.
Before that, I'm assuming you were still traveling and playing. So is this you and your friends and your team, is this you guys yourself investing money into doing these things, or is there some kind of sponsorship opportunity somewhere that's taking care of this stuff? Just so we can put this stuff into perspective for all the, you know, listeners
sure.
out there.
Well, let me give you a little bit of a backstory. For a number of years, my wife and I owned a sales agency in the computer industry, and you know, we were very fortunate. We did extremely well, and we put ourselves in the position that we wanted to do something different, something with purpose, something that was very fun, something totally outside the box. And we both became content creators. That's how my character Mike was birthed. And my wife, she's an international public speaker, blogger, podcaster. She embarked upon a career, you know, that was really her brand. And because of my love for basketball, it just seemed, I think 2009 is the first FIBA tournament that I played in Prague in the Czech Republic. And I was hooked. You know, it combined basketball, you know, travel, you know, food, doing stuff with my wife, meeting new people. So I was very fortunate in that I did well in a previous life that gave us the foundation and a lot of liberty to do something totally new. And that's what I've, you know, embarked upon, you know, starting, you know, 10 years ago, and I'm still doing it. And as far as the expenses, you know, sometimes I pay all of my expenses. Sometimes we're sponsored. Sometimes, you know, based on the work that I do for the organizations that I represent, you know, I get expenses paid. So it's a combination of the three. And to really explain in detail how I did it, that's tough. It just evolved, and I walked through every single door that opened for me.
Okay, well, now that we asked the easy question.
The easy question. Man, do you know how long it took me to come up with that question?
Oh, I thought you were just a pro at this.
Holy,
man.
This guy.
Hey, I said a good question.
Go with your quote-unquote hard question. Let's see see what you have.
Well, easy to answer. You jumped the gun there. Easy to answer. Now, the hard question for Jim to answer would be, okay, you told us about the work side of it and how you set it up, but you, come on, man, you've been having fun doing this. So what are some of the trouble that you've gotten into, especially earlier on when you're traveling around, like you're saying, like 10 years ago when you first got into it?
I would say there's no trouble. opportunities to try and figure things out, like language barriers, getting from one country to the next, you know, efficiently and economically. You know, some of the places where I had been, you know, basketball is very big in the Balkans. And I've played in Greece, Serbia several times, Croatia several times. You know, I've been to Bulgaria, Albania, Kosovo, Macedonia, Moldova, Ukraine, and places like that. It's not as if you can just get in your car, jump on the highway, and if it's 100 miles away, know that you're going to be there in a couple hours. Sometimes it could take you 4 or 5 hours, you know, to go less than 100 miles by bus. And you really don't want to rent a car in those parts of the world because the roads aren't that great. Some of the countries have a bad reputation for corruption with police, so you can, you know, conceivably get shaken down. And we rely on public transportation, whether it's a bus, whether it's a train, or little you know, minivans that are almost like semi-private transport for you. And I guess I don't want to say it's trouble, but some of the facilities, you play in a gym, some of them could be dangerous. I mean, they could have the end of the court, there could be like a lip at the end of the court because it's a multi-use facility and can easily turn an ankle. Or the bleachers could be perilously close to the floor, or the wall, you know, could be too close to the other side of the basket. So, you know, I guess that's the trouble that you would face.
How many?
But that's not really trouble. There's just I look upon them as opportunities and ways to learn about, you know, other cultures, the way other people live, and to get exposed to things that maybe I wouldn't have been exposed to if I didn't venture outside the United States.
Have you or your teammates ever missed a game from being too hungover or maybe still partying too hard the night before?
Because they're my teammates, what I'll do is I'll take the fifth here and say, that could have happened, but I'm not going to name names. it's happened. Before, one of the things we've got, you know, not just on my team, but the teams that I organize, like when we went to Italy for a world championship this summer, we took 7 USA teams, and we always have a speech and a get together at the beginning of the tournament and say, you're representing yourself, you're representing your family, you're representing your country, you know, just behave, you know, sure. You're not back in college where there's all kinds of rules that are going to be imposed upon you. But here, you know, you just have a personal responsibility to behave. And most of the people take it seriously, and they're older and mature enough where they abide by, you know, their reason, and they follow their own maturity. But others don't. So to answer your question, yes, it's happened in the past.
And so with being a board member, for people listening that maybe want to get into this, say they are a little bit older or whatever it may be, and, you know, enjoy playing basketball or enjoy organized sports, what are some ways that they can get into these tournaments that you're speaking of, you know, we're talking higher, you know, higher level of play, these 32 team, you know, 350 guys, tournament. So how does that work? Is there a registration process? Is it a qualifying
process?
Yes,
there is. The best way to get involved, at least in the FIMBA tournaments, is to go onto their website. It's FIMBA.net, FIMBA.net. And I'm the head of the United States, so I help recruit and organize American teams. and I have a very good friend for a number of years. We've played with and against each other. He lives in Toronto. His name is Jude Kelly, and he's the FIMBA rep for Canada. So he would be able, you know, to help any Canadians that are listening get involved in FIMBA tournaments. But it's easy to go onto our website, and you could read about our history. We've been around. This is our 27th year. We have tournaments, as I referenced earlier, that are coming up in Japan in April, Brazil in June, Serbia in November. Next year, we'll have another world championship in Finland. And we have tournaments planned for the next several years in Cape Town, South Africa, Seoul, South Korea, Vilnius, Lithuania, Madrid, Spain. And I'm actually going to Las Vegas in a couple weeks to play in an American tournament, but also meeting with people that could potentially host a future world championship in Las Vegas to accommodate, you know, 300 to 400 teams.
Wow, that's a lot of stuff on the go.
It is, but it's fun. You know, I love what I do. You know, it keeps me youthful. It keeps me sharp. And if I want to continue playing, it definitely keeps me in shape.
And what's,
because I think any good athlete's got to have an ego, and you got to stay in shape in order to, you know, to be good at your craft. And I don't like to, you know, even though it's tough at times to back away from the table, you know, you have to have that self-discipline with which to do it.
So speaking of the ego, what's the most points you dropped in one game?
Yeah, I played in the Pro-Am League in Clearwater, Florida. It was the Tampa Bay Pro-Am League, and I scored 65 points.
Really? And sorry, yeah, when was this, you said?
65, yes. And the record was broken a week later by Matt Geiger, who's a seven-footer who played with the Heat, the Hornets, and one other team, and the 76ers. And
oh,
he scored 71
fair,
points
eh?
A week later.
No, you hold the record as far as – through my eyes, you hold the record.
Yeah, it was just one of those days. I've always been a scorer, like a scoring point guard. And all the stars were in alignment that particular day.
Okay. What's another time that you've had a game that you felt was just as close to, like, on the stat sheet, just as close to being in that 65, but afterwards, after the game was done, it didn't quite play out that way, where you felt like you're really heating up, you could have done some big things?
That's an interesting question, because I'm struggling to try and think of a time. I don't necessarily dwell on individual or personal statistics. I just like to win. And when you get, you know, older, as I am as a basketball player, you really savor the moments where you win. If you play in these tournaments, it's to come home with the gold medal or the first place trophy. So I don't know if I really have an answer for your question, other than saying, you know, I like it when we win. That's a lot more important than having, you know, a really good game statistically.
Well, for sure, there's certain games where you might not score the most points, but you might, you know, you might come down with the most rebounds you ever have, and you push the ball every single time, you know, you picked it up after, you know, it led to the intensity of other teammates going up or other good things happening, right? It's not always 65 points, you having 12 rebounds with, you know,
mm-hmm.
pushing that ball
well,
up.
There was
and
a
having...
time when I was in college, the score was tied, other team had saved the ball for the last shot. Guy took a, you know, 15, 20 footer. He missed. I got the rebound and I got fouled with no time left on the clock.
Ooh.
And I remember I called the timeout because I was tired of chasing the ball, but I also knew that the opposing team wanted to freeze me out. And it was at the Providence Civic Center. And I stepped calmly to the line after the timeout, and I drained both free throws, and we won 72-70.
There
he walks,
you go.
He walks calmly to the line. The first one.
Yeah, there
up,
you go.
It's through. The second one. This is going to be a big
and
one.
And it was an away game, too, for us. So I thought that was great. And I will always remember that.
That's what we were looking for right there. There it is.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad. glad I had an answer for your question.
How do you guys do at these tournaments?
Our team, you know, domestically, we're really good. We play in our – the tournaments are all age-appropriate. So you have divisions that start 35 to 39, 40 to 44, 45 to 49, all the way up into the 60s. And our team, we're called the Indy All-Stars out of Indianapolis is where majority of the players are from. There's a couple of us from Florida. There's some from the Chicago area. And we won the national championship the last couple years. And we've won many other tournaments as a unit, you know, for the last number of years. You know, and some of the teams that I played with that included the Indy All-Stars teams, you know, we won a gold in New Zealand in the World Masters Games last year, where we beat teams from Russia, Australia, New Zealand, and Estonia. So majority of the time we win. We're built to win. When you get older, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to have all former NBA players on your team. You need to have guys that are a harmonious bunch and that are very fit and understand their roles on the team.
He didn't want to say it, but that's dynasty. He's got a dynasty.
And we're a good team. We're a really good team. But there's other good teams in there in different age groups. So you know, there's a lot of like recruiting that goes on behind the scenes, even though it's not like the NCAA or FIBA or the NBA. But it's, you know, I call it old farts basketball. But guys could still play at elder ages. You would be shocked.
So just in your age category, are you going up against a lot of former NBA players?
Yes, well, we have one former NBA guy that, you know, plays with us periodically. He was a first-round draft pick. He lives here in Florida. Jerry Ice Reynolds, he played 9 years in the league, played at LSU, and I think for like three or four NBA teams. And in all the tournaments where we compete, there's former NBA guys, but not as many as you would think. And that's because a lot of the NBA guys, once they get older, their bodies have totally broken down. You know, just from all the wear and tear of playing an 82-game season, you know, training camp, preseason, and if they're fortunate enough to get into the postseason. That's one reason why. The other reason why is that they have some ego, and they recognize, you know, it could be, you know, they could be shell-shocked when they go to some of these tournaments and guys that maybe never played anywhere that are very fit, very athletic, and they've developed skill over a long period of time. They just have developed into great, great players where they weren't that good of a player maybe 10 or 20 years ago.
Well, that's the thing too, right? Like I think, especially if you haven't played at such a high level, it's probably easier to adjust as your body starts to, like, you know, break down a little bit and decline a little bit and get used to making those adjustments as opposed to coming from such a high spot and dropping down, not being able to rely on some of the things that you've always done.
Yes, actually, yes. And there's a Canadian guy that I played with for a number of years. He no longer plays, and he probably fits into that category where his body just broke down. Andrew Wiggins' father, Mitch. Mitch has been a friend of mine for 15 years. He used to play in all these tournaments, and he would dominate. And Mitch played in the NBA for, I don't know, maybe 6 or 8 years, and he's 6'5". You know, he could really score. He could defend. He was a good passer. He's a good guy, a really good teammate. And then after a while, he just said, "I can't do this anymore." You know, it's tough on the body. Plus, it was at the same time his son, you know, was the number one draft pick, and he, you know, obviously has devoted his time and energy to help manage his son.
No, that's more than fair, and I think that's one of the things. A lot of times, from the outside looking in, we look at these athletes who are at that time in the prime of their lives, and we always have harsh criticism for them, and wondering, well, they get paid millions of dollars. There's nothing for them really to complain about, you know. And then we don't see the other side of it, where 30, 40 years later, they've basically given their bodies for that passion.
It's a quality of life thing too, right?
That's very true. Another case in point is we played in the North American Championships in Coral Springs, Florida last May. And one of the teams that we played in the tournament was organized, and the player coach was Rick Pitino. And wow. He went out on the recruiting trail, and he had one a former NFL football player and three former NBA players that were on his team, one of whom was Reggie Theus. And Reggie Theus came out, and he hit four long-range three-point shots. And then he got fouled on, like, his fifth three-point attempt, made all three free throws pure. So he had 15 points in, like, the first 3 or 4 minutes of the game. And then 5 minutes later, he's gassed. He's sitting on the bench. And the other NBA guys, you know, they hadn't played in a couple of years. They thought that they were going to come to this old man's tournament and beat up on teams that they had never, you know, heard of any of the players before. And we spanked them. We beat them very convincingly. And we met with them afterwards. We sat, we spoke. And they were saying, wow, this is amazing. You guys are very fit for your age. We did not expect this to happen. And Reggie Theus said, you know, I hadn't played in a couple of years. You know, Pitino asked me to be a part of this team, play in this tournament. And he said, I'm very impressed with the level of play for older guys. And he said, I'm just out of shape. But I tell you what, Reggie Theus, first four shots, it was like 25, 27 feet. Boom, 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 boom.
Really?
It was wonderful to see, but, you know, it just proves my point that if you don't consistently do this for a number of years and really maintain, you know, your fitness level, your weight, your body, is that Mother Nature has a way of taking over.
Well, Jim, it's been great having you on the show.
It's been great being on the show.
Hey,
thank you.
You had a lot of great stories. We do this one thing around here, which we call the gauntlet. So we're just going to ask you a series of rapid-fire questions, and you just answer the first thing that pops into your head.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to keep it basketball-related to get it started off. What's the best basketball team right now? In the NBA. Let's go NBA.
Definitely the Warriors.
And is that the same team that you're most excited to watch?
I like watching the Warriors, but I also like watching, you know, you guys are Canadians. I like watching the Raptors. I like watching the Celtics and also the Cavaliers. But I think the best team and the team to beat is still the Warriors.
Me too.
And what team are you the most excited to watch in the NFL?
Eagles, baby. It's a lifetime of football fan frustration that was overcome about 2 weeks ago when our birds finally won a Super Bowl. Fly, Eagles, fly.
A big one.
Against the Patriots, too. Unbelievable.
Yes, absolutely.
Did you celebrate with a big Philly cheesesteak?
No, I didn't. I just was barely able to celebrate because I go to bed like between 9 and 10 o'clock each night, and I think the game didn't end until about 11 o'clock. But I do like Philadelphia cheesesteaks. I grew up in Trenton, New Jersey, which is maybe 30 minutes from Philly. So I know my cheesesteaks. I know Pat's. I know Gino's. I know Pete's. I know all the big cheesesteak places up there.
All right. So one player to start an NBA franchise with, who would you choose?
Wait. Let's all answer. Anyone?
One player right now in his prime or somebody young? I need to ask you to maybe rephrase the question.
Currently in the NBA. It could be anyone currently.
Start a franchise?
Yeah.
LeBron. That's easy. It's like too easy.
Like a prime LeBron?
No, it's right now.
Prime LeBron. If it weren't prime LeBron, I'd say the Greek Freak.
Yeah, that's a good choice too. Yeah, I'd be split LeBron, Giannis, or KD. Probably my three.
I'll go off book. I'll take the point guard. I'll take Steph.
Take Steph? Okay. Okay.
I think Steph, though, I disagree with you there. I think Steph and KD, they're too fragile. I think LeBron has shown that he's unbelievably durable. And if you want to have somebody as a foundation stone, I'd want, you know, more durable athlete.
That's a good point.
That's my opinion.
He's on pace to play 82 games this year.
Yeah.
Hasn't missed yet.
Steph is?
No, LeBron is. He hasn't missed yet.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Especially the way that he plays.
Yep.
Just a freight train. Anyways, next question. If you had to choose tequila, whiskey, or vodka?
Red wine. I don't think I had hard liquor since I've been in college. So I'm the wrong guy to ask that question. I would go for a Brunello di Montepulciano, which is like some of the finest red wine in the world.
Sounds good to me.
There you go.
Yeah.
B loves his red wine, so.
Yes.
Best Christmas gift you've ever given someone?
Whoa, that's a good one. Because I'm at a loss for words, and normally I'm not at a loss for words. Best Christmas gift I've ever given one. Trying to remember when I brought home a boxer puppy. I think that was an anniversary gift. That wasn't a Christmas gift. So
I can't answer
that because I'm drawing a blank.
Well, we'll use the boxer. We'll use the boxer.
Okay.
One thing you would do if you get away with it scot-free and no one would ever know.
Ooh, you guys don't know me that well. I would have to confess. I would have to. I'm probably not the best guest here because I'm not giving you one word answers. Getting away scot free, you really never get away scot free. That's the way I look at things. I'd have to fess up if I did something that you would say I got away with it.
If you could choose one era of basketball to watch, would it be the Jordan era or Kobe and LeBron?
Jordan. I loved watching Jordan. It was more physical style of play back then, and I think just Jordan just rose above it, metaphorically as well as physically.
So if you could have one person play on your team, former NBA player, former college player, could be anyone. Who would you choose?
Bill Russell. He's got 11 rings. He's a winner. I'd want him as our foundation stone.
And last question. If you couldn't play basketball anymore, what would you choose to do in that time?
Lay on the couch and cry. No, I'd find something else to do. Probably, walking. On the beach, we live in Florida here, or running, or if I could, ride a bike, not just like a little Pee Wee Herman bike, but, and not necessarily a Tour de France, however you say that. We have trails all over the place. You can go 70 miles from right outside my door, uninterrupted. So I would find something to keep me physically active.
Oh, yeah. Also, I had one more question. Footwear related. You're playing 2 to 3 times a week. You're traveling all around playing. What's your shoe of choice? Are you into that? Do you know a difference between, wearing a LeBron or a Kyrie or a KD, an Adidas shoe, whatever it may be? Or do you, what are you wearing right now?
Adidas. I couldn't even tell you, whose name is on the bottom of it. That I never got into that.
Perfect. It's comfortable, right?
When you get older, you don't go through 5 or 6 pairs of shoes a year. You go through one pair of shoes every 3 years, probably.
Yeah.
But I don't really get into that. And I can't, believe that some kids, they put so much pressure on their parents to go out and, pay $250 for custom shoes. I think that's something that, I can't comprehend. I can't get my arms around it.
See, we thought you were wearing a big baller brand.
No. hey, we could spend 5 hours on that show talking about that guy. I think that's tragic.
We're going to have to get you out again for that LeVar take.
He's hurt his kids.
But, Jim, we might have to have you back on here, though.
I would love to. I love talking about basketball and – you guys are fun.
Yeah,
good
we might,
questions.
Might have to
so
get.
Thanks again for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming on. But yeah, we might have to talk about that LeVar take because the other side of it is Lonzo says that he doesn't mind. The kids don't seem to mind. They say that's just how my dad is, and
I think they mind though.
Yeah, I do too. I would agree with you. I think they mind because I would like to be a little bird. In the locker room, listening in to some of the grief that Lonzo Ball gets with the Lakers, that his father's such a meddler. Magic and Rob Pelinka, I think that's his name, the general manager.
Yeah.
I mean, they just got to squash LaVar Ball because he's too disruptive, not just for his son, but for the entire culture of the Lakers organization.
How ridiculous is that thing he said about if they don't sign LaMelo and LiAngelo, that Lonzo won't sign an extension at the place where LaVar's always wanted him to play? Like, how does that even make sense at all?
You know, it doesn't. I think that's a lot of braggadocio. And I think that situation will be corrected. It needs to be corrected. And Magic is, he's smart. And I know that he'll intervene and he'll take the appropriate measures to correct it.
Well, that's just it. Like, I think pretty much everyone is just blowing him off as, you know, just another blowhard. Let him say whatever he wants to say. No one's really taking him seriously.
But some people do take him seriously,
that his two young kids, not Lonzo, but the other Law kids, when they went to Lithuania, the first day, they scored lots of points, lots of alley-oop dunks, lots of great highlight reel material. But that was against younger kids in Lithuania. The first real pro team that they played, both of the kids struggled, and one played horribly. So the question, you know, that I have is, can the kids play?
Well, that's just it. And from what I hear, one of them may be able to play pretty solidly. And I think it's the younger one, not even the one that was in college there, but still doesn't, not necessarily projected to get to the league. So, like I said, like, a lot of it seems to be like a lot of hot air right now. And I think maybe that's why inside the basketball world, they're kind of ignoring him and what he's saying. But it's the media that's giving him so much attention, so much coverage.
You know, initially, probably several months ago, I read everything that was in the press about that because I'm thinking, who is this clown? And then after a while, I'm thinking, why am I wasting my time reading about this? Because it's just going to implode. And it hasn't imploded yet, but I think the fuses may have already been lit.
Well, once we get you back on, where, you know, we can be sure that there will be 10 more LaVar takes, right? So not
I'm
worried
sure
about
there
that.
Are. Okay. Hey, well, thanks, guys. I really appreciate your having me.
All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Good night.
All right. Bye-bye. Good luck in your tournament.
Bye. Should we take this or what?
Thanks for listening to the Thirst World Problems Podcast. For more exclusive content, follow us on Instagram at Thirst World Pod. Make sure to subscribe, like, and share.
This is Bell, and if you're still listening, that means you're looking for the Crunk Conversation segment. Now, just a little word of warning before we hop into it. This is a segment where we just kept the mics running after we finished one of our shows and just tried to capture whatever was going on in the room. Some of us were aware, some of us weren't. A lot of fun was had, though. But just a little word of warning, this is raw and unedited footage. So enjoy at your own risk. We had a lot of laughs recording it, so hopefully you'll have some listening to it. And for all those that say that we've been kind of slacking off and taking it at ease, hey, we're having fun, as you can tell, the moment you get into this. Thank you for listening to Thirst World Problems. We appreciate your love and support. Talk to you next week.
Oh. You want that sunroom? You want that sunroom?
Free.
Heated sunroom?
Free.
Four seasons. You want a four-season sunroom? Then she'd be like, oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Like, she just doesn't understand. She thinks we spent $2 million already.
Sunroom until your hair grows back.
She thinks I have $2 million for all your spending. But like, if you just said things, if you said objects, then she'd be like, oh, okay. She just doesn't know how money works.
What's one person? What's one person you've always wanted to smoke with?
Chief Keef.
Chief Keef,
motherfucker. That's some shit I don't like.
Should we take a guess? Let's take a guess. Who do you think it would be?
Who do I think it would be?
Yeah.
Me.
Oh. Whoa.
For $2 million.
Who do you think it would be?
It's all cute, Ed.
Who do you think it would be?
You're not hitting that?
No.
I don't know, man.
Wild guess. Come on, just wild guess.
You know Michael Jackson book?
Michael Jackson.
That should be interesting, man.
That'd Why would crazy. That be interesting? That'd what be mean, weird. Man?
What do you mean? How'd that be weird?
Michael Jackson?
How'd that be weird?
He's been dead for like a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you going to talk to
him about? I don't even know if he smoked.
This is hypothetical. Yeah, even better.
What would you talk to Michael Jackson about?
What do you mean? How do you feel?
Hey, tell me.
How was it like when you were fucking top of the world?
He probably still thinks
on top of the world. On top. Well, that's Brandy. That's Brandy.
Yeah,
buddy.
I don't need to argue anymore. Brandy.
I remember the time.
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates, eh? Yeah. Interesting.
What would you ask him?
Can I get that 2 mil?
Yeah. How much would it take me to shave a little bit? Like a Texas Nick out of you?
Right?
This guy's saying Texas Nick shave his hair.
I almost shaved my head today.
Bill Gates,
amazing.
Bill Gates.
It would have to be somebody who's never smoked before, because then there's novelty of, like, I want to see what this person's like.
God, Mahatma.
Yeah, exactly.
The Mahatma. Man. The Mahatma. Oh, he's probably an opium fiend.
Yeah, then it would be.
I can see it.
Then
oh, it,
be,
it was him, man.
Yeah, it would be him.
You've never smoked in your life?
No.
That makes two, man.
That's crazy.
Ride or die.
July 1st.
So how about July
legislative,
1st?
July 1st? July 1st is when you're doing Texas.
No, no, no.
You know, so when it's legal on Canada? Oh.
Texas Mickey.
Nah, now you're getting close. You now get you're high. Fucking getting close,
Texas
man.
Texas Mickey and you have
not if you buy it. That's my money.
So many times. Oh, yeah. All you have to do is
July 1st?
July 1st at live from the legislative.
Yeah, when you can pull up to a store?
Yeah.
I got things to do.
Yo, I said 5,000. We're gonna have a party.
You're looking at alcohol and you're looking at fucking legal marijuana down
here. I'd rather drink.
Me too.
Yeah, but that shit's down here.
You can do both, though.
Fucking drinking's up here, weed's down here.
I only go up here. I love drinking. Drinking is.
I love both. Yeah.
I like wine. And I don't want to drink it as often, so I want to remember the flavors and like really remember what it tasted like. So that's why I just like subtly bring it back. I'm like, wow, that was really good.
We should go to the whiskey room. That's what we should do.
I'm not trying to spend more money on booze. Don't you understand my whole game plan? Try to get these Texas mix. Try to spend less money.
Like, would you do, hey,
how many times
are
you going to shave your head, man?
Would you do heroin? Would you do heroin for a Texas Mickey?
That's some shit I can't mess.
Would you suck a billionaire's cock for Texas Mickey? Or?
Yo,
for infinity amounts of Texas Mickeys?
Would you do heroin right now for 2 G's?
For two? No. No, no, because it'll end up cost you more in the end.
5 G's.
No, 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 no.
20 grand.
You can't, no, no.
20 grand.
No.
Knowing full well.
Really? What's the number?
The number would have to be in the high millions.
50.
High millions.
50 grand, you wouldn't do it one time?
No. Here's what you got to think about. If you did it one time,
yeah,
understand how addictive it is, right?
You're going off the stereotype, but oh, you're locked in.
Yeah.
That's not most
yeah.
people. You're not,
that
you're
is most
no,
people. That
know,
is most people.
No, but from what I know about
no,
you,
most people
you don't.
Have an most people don't.
It doesn't seem like you have an addictive.
Most
personality.
People don't kick that
so
shit.
So you get 50
yeah,
G's in the bank.
They start it because they want to. They don't start it because they're
that's
forced
true, though,
to.
That is true. Yeah.
I'm addicted to these podcasts and getting quality material to my fans.
You'd go straight into it knowing you're not going to do it again.
But I'd have the money to do it again, though. That's
yeah.
the problem.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden,
it's
like right now, I'm too poor to do it. But, like, then I'd be like, oh, shit, I got all this.
No,
I'm running flush, baby.
No.
Heroin
is the amount of money.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
You've been there. You've been
like,
there.
How about you?
Don't
50 G's? Would you do it?
Yeah.
50 grand, I'd do it easy.
50 grand, you do it easy?
It'd be easy. I'd wake
what,
up the
where
next
does
day
50 grand put you, though? It would have to be such a substantial amount that it puts you into a new
like
level, though.
When I initially
yeah, but
like
it would have to be so
money.
Much money that it puts
yeah,
you in a different
but,
level.
Yeah,
you
but
really
you're
don't thirst for anything.
Like for me, I'm sure you too. You know
I owe
if
you money
did it
too,
and
though.
You get 50 grand, it's 0% you ever fucking... Because you know the reason you did it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
But my whole thing is... My whole thing is, though, especially you, you're a young fucking kid. Imagine this. Like, where does that 50 grand put you that you wouldn't be get to at to a point? It's got to be so – the money has to be so substantial.
It's like a year or two of working at part-time.
50 grand ahead, but then what do you do with that 50 grand? What are you going to do with that 50 grand right now?
So much hair.
Like, in your course of your life
– sell it.
In the course of – like, you're risking being a heroin addict, but in the course of your life, you're going to spend more than all of us.
You're risking being a heroin addict if you're looking at fucking mainstream shit that says that you become an addict right away.
Yeah, you think
in the course of your life,
once?
Yeah.
Life.
No, I think the number. No, I think that number is very small. But I do.
You think the number's very small?
I think it's very small.
I think it's probably up above 70-80%.
No way. No way.
Remember Alex was talking about that guy that came and was like,
but the thing is, you gotta do some neck shit to do that.
Yeah.
I do crack once
yeah.
a year.
Yeah, and craves it so hard for that fucking year. What I'm saying to you, B, is in the course of your lifetime, especially you, you'll probably spend upwards of $2 to $3 million just on a natural curve. Not like at once. You'll never possess all that money at once.
Well, unless you're
in
my head.
Right, right? In the course of your life, you'll end up spending that kind of money. $50,000 compared to that kind of money is a small drop in the bucket.
Yeah, but to me, it's $50,000 for free.
It but you have to weigh the potential against it.
Psychologically, I don't do that. I know it. Like I've tried things before. I know that if I try something above, say, weed or fucking alcohol, I know it doesn't matter to me. Psychologically, I know it will not make a difference.
That's either tough. You
take $50,000 for free or you don't. That's
why tempt it though? What I'm saying to you,
tempt it.
There's no temptation.
There's no percentage.
But just percentage wise, there is.
But if I ask you,
just the straight numbers,
if I ask
there
you
is.
That there's no percent or $50,000. You take $50,000, right?
Yeah, if you're talking about zero, yes. Yeah. But so what I'm saying is, you're doing a bad estimation of what your numbers look like because just percentage wise, it's not 0%.
You're guessing.
I'm not guessing.
Well, and you're not.
You are,
that's not how everyone gets hooked on.
Yeah, you are guessing.
Someone offering them a whole bunch of money to do heroin.
No. But I'm talking about the physical reaction. The physical reaction in all tests. There's no physical reaction where the number is zero.
$2 million. You do heroin one time.
$2 million. I probably.
Yeah, there you go.
I told you. If the number was high enough. I don't care. I told you. If the number was high enough.
You guys could have $4 million right there.
Yeah.
Listen.
Little bit of hair gone.
Yeah. I'd take a shot of heroin and be like, okay, lock me in a fucking rehab for a fucking year.
Yeah.
Lock me. I'd be like, phew, in rehab. I have enough money to pay for it now. For a year, I don't need to work. I'm in the rehab for a year, fucking just doing podcasts for our guests and our listeners. And like, oh, he hasn't touched heroin for over a year. Hasn't touched booze, hasn't touched anything. I just come out rich as fuck. Just hanging out with me and the beeps.
What about you, right? Like, what about me waiting for
you? You shaved your head. I'm waiting for your hair to grow back.
That's going to take years. Which
it's not going to take years. Why do you think it would take years?
You're wearing fucking wigs.
We're millionaires now.
I don't fucking care. I'm a bald millionaire.
You take one shot. You take one shot or get some cream. And that should be fucking down to your waist in a half hour.
No.
You ever seen the Jetsons?
You'd be the brown Amber Rose.
Hell no.
I heard heroin makes your hair grow fast. Wouldn't that be the thing if like she got out and she was addicted to heroin?
Yes. Yes.
What if Bill Gates was like, here.
You up the price of $2 mil? Yeah. Right
away. What if Bill Gates was like, here's a Texas Mickey, just do a reel off my junk.
Off my junk? No.
Of a billionaire's job. No.
What if somebody said, suck my Texas dicky for a Texas
Don't suck my Texas
dicky. Like, when it rhymed like that.
We saw all that shit in Thailand. It was fucking ridiculous.
What do you mean you saw all that shit in Thailand?